This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. You know, first and foremost, obviously, it's very hard to come up with a 15-minute impromptu khatira in front of Sheikh Yasser Burjas, who I love dearly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him, inshaAllah ta'ala, to restore him back to his full health, inshaAllah, to purify him from his sins, to elevate him, inshaAllah, to make him imam for the Muslims, and to allow us to be gathered with him in the companionship, inshallah, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah al-Firdaus. Everyone say ameen. I'll just remind you all, inshallah ta'ala, then with just the few minutes that I have. You know, it's really this Ramadan, there's a really special feeling to this Ramadan, subhanAllah. And I thought it was just me, but I was speaking to several people, and everyone that I seem to talk to says this is the best Ramadan that they've ever had. And it just seems to have a very special feeling to it. And I know that the days are long, but subhanAllah, even though the days are long, we still feel blessed to have this opportunity. And I'll share with you guys a personal reflection. The day of Ramadan, the day of the first night of Ramadan, I woke up in the morning and I had a bunch of text messages, I had a bunch of voicemails, and people, you know, leaving me voicemails saying, Sheikh, we thought that you died, and alhamdulillah, we're glad that you're alive. And like, I literally had two friends of mine that were crying on the voicemail, you know, and I couldn't understand why. And then I went to, then they told me that if you went to yahoo.com or if you went to Twitter, the number one trend was Omar Suleiman dies. Omar Suleiman from Egypt, the former Rais al-Mukhabarat, head of intelligence vice, who happens to have his name spelled exactly like I have my name spelled. And subhanAllah, like, at first it was funny, then it was actually kind of eerie going and, you know, seeing your name, and subhanAllah, it's a reminder. So as Omar Suleiman dies and people are saying, alhamdulillah, we're glad you're not dead. I said, well, jazakallah khair, I'm glad you're glad that I'm not dead. You know, that's a good sign, inshaAllah. But then it made me think, and it made me reflect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took this man's life just a few hours before Ramadan. SubhanAllah, just think about that. What that means, and how blessed we are to be in this month right now, and to appreciate it. And there is a narration that is a very powerful narration. It's one of my favorite narrations about Ramadan. If I could say I had a favorite hadith about Ramadan, it's this hadith, which is narrated in Ibn Majah with an authentic saying in a silsila sahiha, from Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, just to really soak in the sheer opportunity of Ramadan. And Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is from Al-Ashr al-Mubashirin, the 10 promised paradise, he had this dream. And to put you in this context, subhanAllah, you know, I know Sheikh Yasir taught the Prophet smile. And when you think of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should imagine him as if he's with you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, you know, everyone always wanted to vie for his love, to have a chance to have a conversation with him. He used to always ask the Sahaba, who amongst you had a good dream that you want to share with us? So the Sahaba always wanted to have good dreams that they could share with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you know Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for example, one time, just to give you a backdrop of the hadith, one time Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu really wanted to have a good dream so that he could share it with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he had a dream that was not so good. And he asked his sister Hafsa, radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, to get the interpretation from him privately. So, but it just shows you the way the Sahaba were. They really wanted to have these good dreams so they could share it with the Prophet ﷺ. So Talha had an amazing dream, but at the same time it was a little puzzling. Talha radiallahu anhu says, I saw myself with two companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Both of them became Muslim on the same day. Both of these companions became Muslim on the same day. One of them died a year before the other. And the one who died a year before the other died a martyr, shaheed. And he was more known for his good deeds and his righteousness. And so the caller called. And who did the caller call first to paradise? He called the second person, the one who died second, to paradise first. So he entered paradise. And Talha radiallahu anhu says, then The first Sahabi, the one that died shaheed, he was called and he entered paradise. And then I was told, go back, for it's not yet your time. Now this is a great dream for Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because to Talha, this is yet another guarantee that paradise is waiting for him. And as we know in authentic hadith in at-Tirmidhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decorates paradise every single day for us in Ramadan. Mm-hmm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is what I am preparing for my servants right now. Your home and my home, we don't need a designer, some home designer that you're going to have to pay money here or there that's going to try to, you know, put together a color combination. Allah, the one who has created beauty, has a house in paradise with your name and my name on it, inshallah ta'ala. And we know this from the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Al-jannatu aqrabu ila ahadikum min shiraqin alayhi wa naru kadhalik. The Prophet ﷺ says, paradise is closer to you than your shoelaces, and so is hellfire. And everyone has a home in both of those places. And when he inhabits one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys the other. So we have a home in paradise being decorated for us. Allah is decorating it for us every single day, inshallah, for you and I with our names on it. So it's a good dream for Talha radiallahu anhu. So he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the companionship of the other companions, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I had this dream. And he shared it with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the way the companions thought, this dream is strange. You know, and they seemed shocked. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Min ayy dhalika ta'jabun? What are you shocked by?" They said, "Ya Rasulullah, you know, we understand they all went to paradise, but the one who was called to paradise first did not die. He was not like the other person. The other person died shaheed. He was more known for his righteousness, more known for his good deeds." And the Prophet ﷺ answers, أَلَيْسَ هَذَا قَدْ مَكَثَ بَعْدَ هَذَا سَنَا. Didn't this person live a year longer than this person? وَأَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ. And he caught Ramadan, and he prayed such and such, and fasted such and such. And they said, yes, O Rasulullah. And the answer of the Prophet ﷺ, فَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا أَبْعَدُ مِمَّا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The distance between them is greater than the distance between the heavens and the earth. Just because what? He caught an extra Ramadan and he seized the opportunity of Ramadan. Now someone might look at this, and we always have the pessimist. The pessimist always will say, how can you say that a person will surpass a shaheed? That's an insult to the shuhada. The optimist will say, that means that if I do Ramadan right, I can surpass the shaheed. That's how you should think. You know, I was in Hajj and someone had a faith crisis last year in Hajj. And they told me that, I'm losing my iman. In Hajj, subhanAllah. And he said to me, and he's an older man, I was shocked. And look at his reasoning. He said, because how come these people in Mecca, they're not very nice, you know, and that's not an insult to the people of Mecca, but in Hajj, everybody's really rough, right? So he said, these people in Mecca that we see that are yelling at us and cursing us, they get to pray in the Haram, and they get 100,000 times the salah, just because they live here. And here we are in America, and we don't have that opportunity. That's the way a pessimist thinks, right? The optimist will think like this. I have an opportunity to do da'wah here that they don't have in Mecca because there are no non-Muslims. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that if a person accepts Islam on your hands, it's better for you than the entire world, than red camels, everything that the world, that can possibly be possessed in the world. So you have an opportunity, he has an opportunity. The point is that you seize your opportunity, you seize every moment, you seize that night to make dua. And we look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was, in his lifetime, there is a man by the name of Usaydim, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Usaydim, who came to fight in the Battle of Badr, and before that he didn't become Muslim. He just showed up to the Battle of Badr. And the Sahaba saw Usaydim fighting. And some of them asked him, they said, we know you're not Muslim. He was just one of those people that was kind of indifferent towards the message. We know you're not Muslim. Are you fighting here fi sabilillah? Is this some kind of nationalistic fight? He said, no, I'm here for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Usaydim dies in the Battle of Badr. And they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, what's his situation? Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to quiz the people, the Sahaba. He used to say, shall I tell you about a man who entered into paradise, a martyr, and he never prayed a single prayer in his life. Not a single salah. But he got to enter Jannah as a shaheed. Why? He seized the opportunity. And really, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. To be at the right, to be where Allah wants you. When Allah wants you to be there, doing what Allah wants you to be doing. At every moment you ask yourself, am I where Allah wants me to be? Am I doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to do? And am I seizing the opportunity of the time that I have right now? This is a blessed month, subhanAllah. I mean, the ahadith are just full of reward after reward after reward after reward. And subhanAllah, it really got me thinking that day, how blessed am I? How blessed am I that I'm not the Umar Sulaiman that was dead, that didn't get to witness this month. How blessed am I? And subhanAllah, if we really thought to ourselves, how many people didn't make it? How many people didn't make it? It's about being sincere and wanting it. And when you really want this, when you really want to be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will open for you the avenue somehow. Right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands before the Sahaba and he says that there will be 70,000 people that will enter Jannah without any form of adab and without any form of hisab. No punishment and no accountability. And Ukasha radiallahu anhu. Now who can tell me a single hadith other than this hadith where the name of Ukasha radiallahu anhu comes up? He's not Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman or Ali or Ibn Mas'ud or Bilal. He's not one of those lofty companions that's well known in the seerah. But you know his name from this one hadith. Ukasha says radiallahu anhu, Ya Rasulullah, ud'u Allah an akuna minhum. Make dua that I am amongst them. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Anta minhum, you're amongst them." He just wanted it at that moment, and he was sincere, and he seized the opportunity. Then another Sahabi says, "Ya Rasulullah, me too." He says, "Sadaqaka biha, Ukasha." Ukasha beat you to it. He beat you to it. He wanted it more. He wanted it. I mean, it's a genuine desire. So, how bad do you want to be forgiven in Ramadan? Before you start analyzing Ramadan just from a pure statistic standpoint. You know, thinking how many Taraweeh Salawat have I caught? How many chapters of Qur'an have I read? The very basic question you should be asking yourself is, how bad do I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me and to enter me into Jannah? How bad do I want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of this month without any sins on me, inshaAllah? غُفِرَ لَهُمْ مَا تَقَدْمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ. Whoever fasts Ramadan, and one narration, قَامَ Ramadan, whoever stands in Ramadan, إِمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا, engaging his faith and seeking the reward, all of his previous sins are forgiven. How bad do you want it? How bad do I want it? And that's really what we have to ask ourselves in this blessed month. I mean, subhanAllah, Rasulullah ﷺ has told us that the mighty reward of shahada, of martyrdom, could be attained by a person while he dies in his sleep. Just because he's sincere when he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Just because he's sincere when he asks Allah for it. So whenever we make this dua, because sometimes we tend to get really, really robotic with our duas. And I know, I'm sure Sheikh Yasser has touched on this many times with you before. How we can get robotic with our duas, right? Just systematic, I'm just trying to make sure I read it exactly as the text is and things of that sort. But my heart is absent. So whenever we make the dua, with the last 10 nights coming up, the most important dua, the most beloved dua to the Prophet ﷺ, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afu fa'fu anna. Oh Allah, you are one who pardons. You love to pardon. You love to pardon. So pardon me, fa'fu anni. When you make that dua, will you just be making it for the sake of making it? Or will you really have your heart into it? Like, oh Allah, this Ramadan, I really want to be a different person. I really, really want to change. Because I really don't know if I will have another Ramadan. I really don't know if I'll have another day of Ramadan. And that's why, you know, subhanAllah, when you hear that the first 10 days are mercy, second 10 days forgiveness, third 10 days are being protected from hellfire, in reality, every day of Ramadan is mercy, every day is forgiveness, and every day is being freed from the hellfire, because there are two authentic ahadith, one from Abu Umama and one from Abu Sa'id, may Allah be pleased with them both, that the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ, that verily Allah has, on every single day and night, meaning in this month, عُتَقَى, people He frees from hellfire. You got it right one night, one day, you cried, you shed a tear with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you felt like you were in the zone, and you made a special dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a new beginning, you asked Allah for redemption, and Allah wrote it down that night, that my servant so-and-so is from those who are free from hellfire. SubhanAllah. you don't know if you'll live to see the last 10 nights to really be able to get into the zone. So try to get into the zone tonight, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow while you're fasting, whatever it is. Try to make use of every single day and be sincere, recognizing the opportunity and taking advantage of the opportunity. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this an accepted Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala, for all of us. Because if Allah does not accept it, then all of the Taraweeh and all of the Qira'at al-Qur'an and all of the prayers and all of the fasting will be an utter waste. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it, to write it down for us, to multiply the reward, to magnify the reward, and at the end of the day, just to be pleased with us, to look at His servants and show us His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because no one has the mercy that He has, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So jazakumullahu khairan. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.